Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Lives of the Prophets. The last time we were together, we were talking about Moses, and he had met burning bush, and the story said, and when he came to it, the fire, he was called by name, O Moses, verily I am your Lord. So take off your shoes. You are in the sacred valley, Tua, and I have chosen you. So listen to what, to that which is inspired to you. Verily, I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. None hath the right to be worshipped but I. So worship me and offer prayer perfectly for my remembrance. Verily, the hour is coming, and my will is to keep it hidden, that every person may be rewarded for that which he strives. Therefore, let the one who believes not therein be, but follow his own lust, divert you therefrom, lest you perish. And what is that in your right hand, O Moses? Moses said, this is my stick, wherein I lean, and wherein I beat down branches for my sheep, and wherein I find other uses. Allah said, cast it down, O Moses. He cast it down, and behold, it was a snake moving quickly. Allah said, grasp it and fear not. We shall return it to its former state and press your right hand in your left side. It will come forth white and shining and without any disease as another sign that we may show you some of our greater signs. So go to Pharaoh. Verily, he has transgressed all bounds in disbelief and disobedience and has behaved as an arrogant and as a tyrant. That's on chapter 20, verse 9 through 24. Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them, given their duties, Moses said, O my Lord, open for me my chest, grant me self-confidence, content me and boldness, and ease my task for me, and make loose the knot, the defect from my tongue, remove the incorrectness of my speech, that they understand my speech, and appoint for me a helper from my family, Aaron, my brother. Increase my strength with him, and let him share my task of conveying Allah's message and prophethood, and so that we may glorify you much and remember you much. Verily, you are of us ever a well-seer. Allah said, you are granted your request, O Moses, and indeed we have conferred a favor on you another time before when we inspired your mother with that which he inspired, saying, put him, the child, into the tablet, a box or a case, and put him in the river, and then the river shall cast him up on the bank, and there an enemy of mine and an enemy of his shall take him, and I endured you with love from me in order that you may maybe brought up under my eye. When your sister went and said, shall I show you one who will nurse him? So we restored you to your mother that she should cool her eyes and she should not grieve. Then you did kill a man, but we saved you from such a grievous distress and tried you with a heavy trial. Then you stayed a number of years within the people of Midian. Then you came here according to the term which I ordained for you, O Moses. And I have chosen you for my inspiration and my message for myself. Go you and your brother with my proofs, lessons, verses, and evidence, and signs, revelations, etc. And do not you both slacken and become weak in my remembrance. Go both of you to Pharaoh. Verily, he has transgressed all bounds in disbelief and disobedience and behaved as arrogant and as a tyrant. And speak to him mildly. Perhaps he may accept admonition or fear Allah. Our Lord, verily, we fear lest we should hasten to punish us unless we should transgress all bounds against us. Allah said, fear not. Verily, I am with you both, hearing and seeing. So go you both to him and say, verily, we are messengers of your Lord. So let the children of Israel go with us and torment them not. Indeed, we have come with a sign from our Lord, and peace will be upon him who follows the guidance. Truly, it has been revealed to us the torment will be for him who denies and turns away from the truth and obedience of Allah. That's Surah 20, verse 9 through 48. Moses and Aaron talked to the Pharaoh. Moses, peace be upon him, and Aaron, peace be upon him, also went together to Pharaoh and delivered their message. Moses spoke to him about Allah, his mercy and his paradise, and about the obligation of monotheism and his worship. Pharaoh listened to Moses' speech with disdain. He thought that Moses was crazy because he dared to question his supreme position. Then he raised his hand and said, "What do you want?" Moses said, "I want you to send the children of Israel with me, with us." Pharaoh said, "Why should I send them as they are my slaves?" Moses replied, "They are the slaves of Allah, Lord of the worlds." Moses replied, "They are the slaves of Allah, Lord of the worlds." Pharaoh then inquired sarcastically if his name was Moses. Moses said, "Yes. Are you not the Moses whom we picked up from the Nile as a helpless baby? Are you not the Moses whom we reared in this place, who ate and drank from our provisions and whom our showered with charity? Are you not the Moses who was a fugitive, the killer of an Egyptian man? If my memory does not betray me, it is said that killing of a is an act of disbelief. Therefore, you were a disbeliever when you killed. You are a fugitive from justice. And you come to speak to me?" Moses and Aaron talked to Pharaoh, quite honestly. Allah the Almighty revealed to us part of the dialogue between Moses, peace be upon him, and Pharaoh. Allah said, "Nay, go to you both with our signs. Verily, we shall be with you, listening. And when you, we are the messengers of the Lord of the of mankind, the jinn, and all that exist. And so, allow the children of Israel to go with us." Pharaoh said to Moses, "Did we not bring you up amongst us as a child, and you did dwell many years of your life with us, and you did your deed which we did, the crime of killing a man, and you are the one of the ingrates?" Moses said, "I did it then when I was an ignorant as regards my Lord and his messenger. So I fled from you when I feared you, but my Lord has granted me religious knowledge, right judgment of the affairs and prophethood, and appointed me as one of the messengers. And this is the past favor with which you reproach me, and that you have enslaved the children of Israel." Pharaoh said, "And what is the Lord of the Alameen, the mankind, jinn, and all that exists?" Moses replied, "Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all that is in between them. If you seek to be convinced with certainty." Pharaoh said to those around, "Did you not hear what he says?" Moses said, "Your Lord and the Lord of your ancient fathers." Pharaoh said, "Verily, your messenger who has been sent to you is a madman." Moses said, "Lord of the east and Lord of the west, and all that is between them, if you did but understand." Pharaoh said, "If you choose a god other than me, I will certainly put you among the prisoners." Moses said, "Even if I bring you something manifest and convincing?" Pharaoh said, "Bring it then. Bring it forth then, if you are of the truthful." Surah 26, verse 16 through 31. Moses proves himself right. The degree of the conflict expressed in this dialogue, the tone of the dialogue changed. Moses used a convincing intellectual argument against Pharaoh. However, Pharaoh escaped from the circle of dialogue based on the logic and began a dialogue of another type, a type that Moses could not bear to follow, a dialogue of menacing and threatening. Pharaoh deliberately adopted the style of the absolute ruler. He asked Pharaoh how he dared to worship Allah. Did he not know that Pharaoh was a god? Let's see what that means. Pharaoh deliberately adopted the style of the absolute ruler. He asked Moses how he dared to worship Allah. Did he not know that Pharaoh was a god? After declaring his divinity, Pharaoh asked Moses how he dared to worship another god. The punishment for this crime was imprisonment. It was not permitted for anyone to worship anyone other than the Pharaoh. Moses understood that the intellectual argument did not succeed. The calm dialogue was converted from sarcasm to mentioning charity, then to scorn, then to the threat of imprisonment. Moses said, even if I bring you something manifest and convincing, Pharaoh said, bring it forth, then, if you are of the truthful. So Moses threw his stick, and behold, it was a serpent manifest, and he drew out his hand, and behold, it was white for all beholders. Surah 26, verse 30 through 33. So, at this time, it was like Moses did some magic, or so that they thought, he was doing magic, and then Pharaoh was like, oh, you want to do magic? I got the greatest magicians. I got the greatest magicians. So Pharaoh's amazement turned to terror, fearing that his rule was in danger. He addressed his advisors. These are two wizards who will strip you of your best traditions and drive you of the country with their magic. What do you advise? They counseled Pharaoh to detain Moses and his brother while they summoned the cleverest magicians in the country. Then they too could show their skills of magic and change sticks into serpents. In this way, they sought to reduce the influence of Moses' miracle on the masses. Well, we're going to stop right here. We're going to go ahead we're going to stop right here and play a PSA.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Moses defeats the magicians. Pharaoh's amazement turned to terror, feeling that his rule was in danger. He addressed his advisors. There are two wizards who will strip you of your best traditions and drive you out of the country with their magic. What do you advise? They counseled Pharaoh to detain Moses and his brother while they summoned the cleverest magicians in the country. Then they too could show their skills of magic and change sticks into serpents. In this way, they sought to reduce the influence of Moses' miracles on the masses. Pharaoh detained Moses and Aaron. He dispatched couriers all over the land to enlist the best magicians. He offered each successful magician a big reward, including appointment as a royal courier of the customary festival day, which attracted citizens from all over the Egyptian empire. Pharaoh arranged for a public contest between Moses and the magicians. The people came in droves as near before when they heard of the greatest contest ever between Pharaoh's many magicians and a single man who claimed to be a prophet. They had also heard of a baby who had once floated down the river Nile on a basket, landing on Pharaoh's palace grounds, then reared as a prince, and who later had fled for killing an Egyptian with a single blow. Everyone was eager and excited to watch this great contest. Before it began, Moses arose. There was a hush in the crowd. Moses addressed the magicians, "Woe unto you if you invent a lie against Allah by calling his miracles magic and by not being honest with the Pharaoh. Woe unto you if you do not know the difference between the truth and falsehood. Allah will destroy you with his magic, with his punishment, for he who lies against Allah fails miserably." Moses had spoke sincerely and made the magicians think, but they were overwhelmed by their greed for money and glory. They hoped to impress the people with their magic and to Moses as a fraud and a cheat. Moses asked the magicians to perform first. They threw their magical objects down on the ground, their staffs and ropes took the forms of wriggling serpents while the crowd marched in amazement. Moses and his brother applauded. Pharaoh and his men applauded loudly. Then Moses threw his staff. It began to wiggle and became an enormous serpent. The people stood up, craning their heads for a better view. Pharaoh and his men sat silently as, one by one, Moses' huge serpent swallowed all the snakes. Moses meant to pick it up, and it became a staff in his hand. The crowd rose like a great wave, shouting and screaming with excitement. A wonder like this had never been seen before. Of witnessing the power of Moses, the magicians prostrated themselves to Allah, declaring, "We believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron." Pharaoh was angry and began plotting his next move. He charged that the demonstration had been arranged secretly between Moses and the magician. He demanded that the magicians confess to their scheme, threatening them with death. They refused to denounce Allah and stuck to their sincerity of their belief. No longer hiding his cruel nature, Pharaoh threatened to cut off their hands and feet and crucify them on the trees as an example of his subjects. Moses defers the magicians from the Quranic perspective. He, Pharaoh, said, "Have you come to drive us out of our land with your magic, O Moses? Then verily we have produced magic the like thereof. So appoint a meeting between us and you, which neither we nor you shall fail to keep. in an open, wide place where both shall have a just and equal chance, and behold, holders could witness the competition. Moses said, your appointed meeting is the day of the festival. Moses said, your appointed meeting is the day of the festival, and let the people assemble when the sun has risen in forenoon. So Pharaoh withdrew, devised his plot, and then came back. Moses said to them, woe unto you, invent not a lie against Allah, lest you should destroy you completely by a torment. And surely he who invents a lie against Allah will fail miserably. Then they debated with one another what they must do, and they kept their talk secret. They said, verily, there are two magicians. Their object is to drive you out of the land with magic and overcome your chiefs and nobles. So devise your plot and then assemble in line, and whoever overcomes this day will be indeed successful. They said, O Moses, either you throw first or we will be first to throw. They said, Moses, O Moses. And Moses said, nay, throw you first. Then behold, their ropes and their sticks by their magic appeared to him as though they moved fast. So Moses conceived a fear in himself. We, Allah, said, fear not. Surely you will have the upper hand. Throw that which is in your right hand. It will swallow up that which they have made. That which they have made is only a magician's trick, and magicians will never be successful, no matter whatever amount of skill they may attain. So the magicians fell down prostrate. They said, we believe in the Lord of Aaron and Moses. Pharaoh said, believe you in him before I give you permission? Verily, he is your chief who taught you magic. So I will surely cut off your hands and feet on opposite sides, and I will surely crucify you on the trunks of trees, and you shall surely know which of us or Pharaoh or the Lord of Moses can give the severest and most lasting torment. They said, we prefer you not over the clear signs that have come to us and to him, Allah, who created us. So decree regarding this life of this world. Verily, we have believed in our Lord that he may forgive us our faults and the magic to which we did compel us. And Allah is better at regards reward in comparison to you, your reward, Pharaoh, and more lasting as regard punishment in comparison to your punishment. So Allah's description of Moses and non-believers in the Quran. Verily, who comes to his Lord as a criminal polytheist, a disbeliever in the oneness of Allah and his messenger, they surely for him is hell. Therefore, he will neither die nor live. But whoever comes to him as a believer in the oneness of Allah and has done righteous good deeds, for such are the high ranks in the hereafter, everlasting gardens and paradise under which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. Such is the reward of those who purify themselves by abstaining from all kinds of sins and evil deeds which Allah has forbidden, and by doing all that which Allah has ordained. Surah 20, verse 58 through 76. The people non-reaction to the defeat of the magicians. The magicians represented the elite of the Egyptian society. They were scholars. They prostrated before righteousness. But the people abandoned them and left them to their fate. The path of righteousness was plain. But in spite of this, the people did not but stand by and watch. Every one of the Egyptians had stopped to pick up a piece of brick and had thrown it at Pharaoh. He would have fallen dead, and the history of Egypt would have changed. This obviously did not happen. None of the people moved. Each one stood motionless in his place. People did nothing but watch, and they paid the price of their inactivity. They were drowned later as the price of the cowardice of one day. This is an interesting circumstance and situation because the people actually were witness to a miracle. And they had already come to, they said that, you know, Pharaoh was, you know, God. They said that Pharaoh was the one. Pharaoh and his magicians were correct. So this defeat that happened, it probably left people like, I don't know what the situation is. So they didn't do anything. Because that's not what they were used to. I mean, for many years, they had worshipped Pharaoh and the magicians. And so here it is, a man comes along, Moses, and Aaron comes along and defeats, you know, the magicians. And people be like, yo, oh, that was great. But I don't know. That was one thing. I'm not going to get a judgment on that. Moses and Aaron left. The Pharaoh's reaction to Moses' victory. Moses and Aaron left, and Pharaoh returned to his palace. Pharaoh entered his palace. Pharaoh was completely stupefied when he faced the two miracles. When Moses went out of his presence, his emotions changed from amazement and fear to violent rage. He quarreled with his ministers and men, reviled them bitterly for no reason, and commanded them to get out of his presence. When he was left alone, he tried to think more calmly. He drank several cups of wine, but his anger did not abate. Then he summoned all the ministers, leaders, and responsible people for a serious meeting. Pharaoh entered the meeting with a rigid face. It was obvious that he would not surrender easily. He had established a kingdom on the basis of his being a god, worshipped by the Egyptian people. Now Moses came to destroy what he had built. Moses said that there was no lord other than Allah in existence. That meant that Pharaoh was a liar. So, you know, what about, you know, and we see that today, what the situation is today, when someone says, I won the election, and people be like, no, you didn't win the election. You know, you lost the election. But, you know, no, I won the election. And look how many people back this person who said, I won the election. Even though this person has been brought up on charges, even though this person has been brought up on charges, has been fingerprinted, there's still a bunch of people that says, you know, president, you know, he's still going to be the president, and I'm going to vote for him. So that's That's an example of today of what a Pharaoh situation is like. Then he summoned all the ministers, leaders, and responsible people for a serious meeting. Pharaoh entered the meeting with a rigid face. It was obvious he would never surrender easily. He was established. He had established a kingdom on the basis of his being a god worshipped by the Egyptian people. Now Moses came to destroy what he had built. Moses said that there was no Lord other than Allah in existence. This meant that Pharaoh was a liar. Pharaoh opened the session by throwing a sudden question at Haman. Am I a liar, O Haman? Haman fell to his knees in amazement and said, who dared to accuse Pharaoh of lying? Pharaoh said, has he, Moses, not said that there is a Lord in the heavens? Haman said, Moses is lying. Turning his face.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Apparently, William's phone dropped. This is Martha Naila Abdullah. And if you have any comments you'd like to share, please press 1 on your phone. I'll open your mic. I guess you can see it here clearly if you press 1. But in referencing as until he calls back in, mashallah, yeah, I was well into listening to the history as we see it as a story with Prophet Musa, Moses, and excuse me, and his confrontation with the Pharaoh. And I want to internalize that or take it on a personal level for all of us as we think about the Pharaoh and how that Pharaoh stands in our life, especially when we are confronted with something that's going to a situation that will ask us to brave our path, and yet no matter what our path includes. Oh, now our host is back. Assalamu alaikum. You're on mute, I believe. Okay. William? No, William, come back. I was just holding this post. Please continue. We can't hear. Here is mic. Okay, took himself out the queue. All right, I'll take that as a go for right now. Our being faced with something in a Moses Pharaoh situation, our history may include something that we did that was very, very, well, telling of something we did in our past. And here we are in front being asked to go forward, you know, from our firm belief in Almighty God. And then we're reckoning with, wow, are the people going to attack me or remember my life before now? And what do I do? Especially if should you be running for office and people remember the days when you were just a little, even if you were a child running around and you began to be around others who didn't think, just like yourself, didn't think it was any harm going into a store and taking anything, or it was a challenge, or doing anything that was contrary to the best social mannerism. And so here it is now, and you had to serve some time away from the community. And everyone remembers that. And now you're wanting to run for office and represent a moral character that will represent people of a community.
and what kind of thoughts go into our mind, or you're leading an organization, and perhaps you had some bad dealings with that organization, or you're connected, you were so connected with it that they remember the bad things. And so here you are now going to stand up front and represent the best behavior and contest the one now who's at the front in a bad behavior, hurting, many, many, many people. So what do we do? Are we strong enough to take that stand, or do we step in the background and say, I'll just push someone else? As what did Moses say, alayhi salam, send Aaron, because there was no impediment in his speech, or in other words, there was no impediment in his life, and he would be best at exemplifying or representing the community, the people, and going before Pharaoh. So here we are facing the crisis, and as William was saying about, voting for someone or electing someone, character who still, his character still stands out as a sore thumb. But here, for our personal selves, how do we internalize that? How do we take it? Inshallah, do we go forward? Do we put our faith in Almighty God, believe that it's worthwhile and that the benefits are greater than our fear? And as Study Al-Islam is having speakers speak on faith over fear. And so do we take that faith over fear? And as the reference to Moses was that in your right hand, and what he referenced was it was not the faith that he needed to have. He was following, or he was standing upon the things, the principles of that particular leadership, which was at fault or faulty. And so he was having to throw it down and stand back up or bring it back up, the principle base. He was leaning upon something that was not principled. But when he threw it down, the root of the principle came to be. I'm going to open up, Fahmy? Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Yes. I'm just enjoying what you're saying. I just want to say, just right in line with you're saying, that's why it scared him, because he was using someone else's, someone else's philosophy and logic. So when he threw his down, that scared him. So I'm just enjoying what you're saying, and I'm continuing to listen. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. And William is here. William, perhaps he's not able to come into the environment right now. What is it, William?
Well, hold on for a second. Okay, so I got that done. Continue. All right. Yeah, so can you hear me?
Can hear you. Okay. I'll get in the host seat because your phone not being, yes. Okay, you continue there and take over, and alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, my phone died.
Yes.
My phone died on me. Oh, my God. Thank you, Sister Martha. Appreciate you.
You're more than welcome.
Alhamdulillah. So we're talking about the lives of the prophets and the idea of Pharaoh. But I think the question becomes, how much do we really believe in miracles? The miracles of Pharaoh, of the miracles of Moses when he went to Pharaoh, that Allah, gave him special miracles. I mean, because, a lot of times we'd be like, oh, man, I don't know, man, about I got a staff, and then I throw the staff down, and the staff, eats up the snakes, and, it's like, I don't know. I haven't seen anything like that in my life. I haven't seen anything like that. But sometimes, people are blessed, and you know, with the ability to perform special miracles. You know, that, so it's like, you know, it's like when the people, when the Egyptians saw that Moses, when you know, the magicians threw their rods and it turned into snakes, and then Moses threw his and it ate up all of them, it was like, they saw it. But it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I saw it, but I don't know about that. I don't know, you know. Even Pharaoh was like, yo, he must have been your teacher. That's what Pharaoh said. He said he must have been your teacher. But, you know, the thing is that that was a special miracle from the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that pissed Pharaoh off. It pissed him off that that should happen. And you know, what do we have today? Well, you know, look, what about, you know, the people, you know, they won the election and have been going with that. And even though they go with it, there are people that back this person who said that he won the election. And he's running again. And in the process of running again, there are people that are going to support him. So, and then there are people that are on the side. Well, you know, I don't know about that. You know, he's been, you know, I've heard, you know, all of these things that in the news, you know, about him. You know, he tried to steal the election, you know. But I don't bother him. I mean, if it was you and I, that would be different. But he's Pharaoh. He's a Pharaoh figure. He's a Pharaoh figure. So I'm just trying to get you to see a relationship, okay, a relationship. And with a relationship today, you know, we are still waiting to see if there will be a punishment that comes from, you know, what, you know, this Pharaoh figure has done. Will there be justice for this Pharaoh figure? And not only him, but the others that were down with him. So, I mean, that's something that to consider. You know, we look at it and say, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I heard that it's wrong, and I see that it's wrong, but I don't know. And people that back him, they'll be like, yeah, I know it's wrong, you know, but, you know, I'm going to back him anyway. If you had people on the stage, you know, if this Pharaoh figure gets the nomination, will you back him? And they all said yes. So, you know, that's what it is. So you want to see a Pharaoh figure. That's a Pharaoh figure in this day and time. So anyway, Pharaoh asked his director of into, ooh, wait a minute. Pharaoh issued his royal command to erect a lofty tower, its height to reach the heavens. Pharaoh's command depended fundamentally upon Egyptian civilization in its fondness for building, which Pharaoh wanted. However, he ignored the rules of engineering. It's like, look, I don't care what you say, just do it. But there are rules as far as engineering is concerned. And he ignored it. So in spite of this, Haman assessed it hypocritically, knowing that it was impossible to erect such a tower. He said that he would issue a command to build it immediately, knowing doggone well it couldn't be done. However, your majesty, let me object to Pharaoh for the first time. You will never find anyone in the heavens. There is no God but you. Pharaoh listened to a settled fact. Then he declared to the famous meeting his historic line. Oh, cheese. This is his historic line. Oh, cheese. I know not that you are a God other than me. Surah 28, verse 38. So, you know, look, this is what happens when it's like your money is attached doing wrong. Your money is attached to this person, and if this person tells you to do something, you got to do it. Or it's a possibility you can, you know, lose your money. You can lose your status. You can, you know, as far as your family is concerned, you know. So it's the old chiefs, I know that which your Islam over me. Pharaoh's men spread rumors. So now the rumors. Pharaoh was absorbed in his new problem. A series of meetings began in his place. He summoned those responsible for the army, the police, and that which we call today his director of intelligence. He also summoned the ministers, princes, and priests. He called whoever had a powerful effect on the direction of events. Pharaoh asked his director of intelligence, "What do people say?" He said, "My men have spread among them that Moses won the contest because of the plot and that the major magicians had joined with him in the plan. The plot had been disclosed, and we believe on unknown authorities financed it." Which was a lie. But, you know, hey, Pharaoh asked his director, "What about the magicians, these magicians' corpses?" He said, "My men hung them in public squares and markets to terrify the people. We will spread a rumor that Pharaoh will kill whoever has anything to do with the plot." Then Pharaoh asked the commander of the army, "What does the army say?" He said, "The army hopes that commands will be issued to move in whatever direction Pharaoh desires." Pharaoh said, "The role of the army has not yet come yet. Its role will come. Pharaoh's men harm the believers." So we're going to stop right there. I'm going to take this telephone call, 972-467. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Well, like, Assalam, I just wanted to talk about, you said director of intelligence, and it's coincidence that one of our former CIA directors, I think his name was like John McCaughlin, he was a world-class magician, and he became the CIA director of our country. And in the interview, he was saying, like, magicians are scientists of human nature. And that just goes to show you how it continues to this day. And I just wanted to add that. Thanks. Assalamu alaikum.
Interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting. Thanks for sharing. Well, brothers and sisters, we're coming to the end of the program. Anybody else have anything to say? Today is Tuesday, and so on Tuesday on American Muslim 360, it's all about courtship and marriages at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today at 7 p.m., it's all about courtship and marriage. Also, on the New Day for Islam Community Radio from 10 to 1 will be Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. And also, let me see, on Tuesday, Science of Health and Learning Lab on IWDM Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Rashid Salam, Science and Health Learning Lab. Okay, so that's what it is. We're going to go ahead and we're going to go out with PSA. Here you go.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.